Welcome back to the Torbay Hospitality Podcast. This week, we have a great interview with Jackie Fonseca. She's a hospitality hero from the offshore, and she talks about her journey from Brazil to New York City and all the way to the English Riviera.
Yeah, and something else that we talked about, which I thought was really interesting, was the difference between the service industry in America and the service industry in the UK. We covered a little bit about the wages and the tips and how all that works.
Oh.
And also what she really likes about America, the service industry in America, what she's kind of brought with herself to the UK, which is great service.
And a lot of energy too. You know, you see Jackie and Liesl out in the morning sorting out the chairs and all of the umbrellas and things like that. And yeah, it is really nice to see somebody who really loves their job that much. So yeah, what a nice team.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start off this week with the shout outs.
Nice.
My shout outs go out to our furry friends in the family. That's Bear, Milo and Pete.
All right.
Who are your shout outs?
Yeah, I've got Tess, Dan, Ellie, Sam at That Crafty Stitch, Alicia, Daisy, and all the cool people that came out for drinks last Friday.
Very nice.
Thank you. Well, the reason that they came out for drinks is because, well, can we get a
dun, dun, dun,
can
dun,
we get an amen?
The headline news.
Torbay Hospitality has moved to Vaughan Parade.
Woo!
Yeah. I love it. So we have a brand new vodcast and podcast studio, and it's right here on the harbor, and we're right next to offshore. So
absolutely. So that means you can expect some video content to be paired with this podcast.
Absolutely.
See our lovely faces as you listen to us.
Yeah. And speaking of video content, you know, the other headline news is Friday, Callum is heading over to Las Iguanas and he's going to do an Instagram live to pull the winner of the competition, the prize draw, to get a bottomless brunch for four people. Incredible. Yeah.
And they have a bunch of different bottomless brunch kind of themed
themed afternoons.
So if you haven't entered the competition, today is your last day.
That is right. They're going to pull the name tomorrow. So make sure that you tune into our Instagram live to catch all of the latest news and find out who won.
Exactly. And lastly, in the headline news,
Towers. Did you hear this? It's actually on the cover of some papers. I keep walking past it, you know, in the co-op or whatever, and I'm thinking, what are they talking about? So Faulty Towers is moving from Torquay to the West End with a stage adaptation. Isn't that great?
That's interesting.
So yeah, because didn't your parents used to watch Faulty Towers and they still bought a B&B?
You know what? I think they watched it, they saw the chaos and they went, that's for us.
That's exactly what we need in our life. Right. So John Cleese and Connie Booth's classic sitcom has been adapted into a play, and it's a stage show, and it's using material from three episodes. The Hotel Inspectors, do you know? I can't remember that one.
I can, yeah.
The Germans.
That's a classic.
Don't Mention the War.
Don't mention the war, yeah.
And Communication Problems, which probably had to do with him and Manuel.
Yes.
So yeah, it's already been staged in Australia, this marks the first time that the show will be performed for UK audiences.
That's so cool.
I know. I think Faulty Towers has like a record for like the most popular like sitcom in UK history, or the considered the funniest. And it didn't really run that long. It only has like, I don't know, a dozen episodes or 20 episodes or something like that. It's very short.
The only two like English, our expectations of England before we moved here, or mine at least, were from Faulty Towers, number one, and the other one was Little Britain. I don't know if you've ever watched Little Britain, but our expectations were not met.
Low.
And, yeah, not met, unfortunately. I was expecting more chaos. So.
It's funny. Do you know where the the inspiration for Faulty Towers, do you know where that is in Torquay? It's above Wellswood. Yeah. It's in between, kind of Wellswood and Babbicom over Anstey's Cove. It used to be called the Grosvenor Hotel. I think it once called the Grosvenor Hotel. Correct me if I'm wrong. But now it's like an old age home, for lack of a better term. And one of the buildings is called the Sax Lodge, and it's after the Manuel's name is Sax, Andrew Sax.
Okay.
So I think that they wouldn't have named it after him. So it's kind of a cool...
That's very cute,
A bit of symmetry there, and so that's always nice to see, isn't
it? Yeah, no, I mean, it was so bizarre for us to watch it in South Africa, and then we were moving to the UK to literally the same town where this thing found the inspiration.
Yeah.
And we drove over to Babbicom, because actually we were originally going to... my parents were going to purchase a B&B in Babbicom.
Okay.
So we were in that area.
Yeah.
And we went for a special day to go and have a look at this hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
I can still remember it. It was very surreal, honestly.
Yeah, it is a privilege. And to think now that it's going to be in the West End and everything, it's quite fun, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely very fun.
Yeah, we don't want to be necessarily associated. Like, the hospitality, of course, is like definitely got an upgrade since those days, right? Yeah. So yeah, we're going to turn over to some different hotel news. This is something quite fun.
Yeah, so the 25 has a new resident pet. Have you seen it?
I've seen something on Instagram, but you wouldn't think of it as a pet.
So it's a grass-covered sheep statue, and people have been rushing to the comments to name him Dash Hare.
Mm.
Let's go through some of our favorite picks now.
I'm ready.
Okay, so Minty.
Mm.
Paddy.
What is Paddy for?
Paddy's like Patrick, St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, okay.
It's like green.
All right.
Yeah. Shaun the Sheep.
Classic.
I give that one. That one's winning so far for me.
Is it?
Or to celebrate the new Fawlty's Tower stage play.
Oh.
Basil.
Oh, that one's my favorite. Yes, Basil.
That one's beautiful. I really like that.
Oh, that's amazing. We'll snap a photo of the sheep and we'll put it on our stories and with a little survey, and you guys can play along.
Yeah, exactly. Give your own suggestions.
There you go. Turning to different hotel news, you can join the Berryhead Hotel for one of their upcoming theme nights. The next one coming up is Thai Night, and it's on the 22nd of Feb. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet for £20, £95 per person.
All-you-can-eat Thai. Wow.
I know. I have to tell this story. Yeah, I was going to say, one time my family went to like this all-you-can-eat buffet of like Polynesian food. It was like a getaway weekend.
Yeah.
And there was a Polynesian restaurant inside this hotel. And after the getaway weekend, they raised their prices. I'm not kidding. Anyway, so to book this theme night, you call the reception team 01803-853-225.
I feel like if you get kicked out of an all-you-can-eat buffet, that is like a badge of honor.
No, I think it's like, yeah, it's like a black mark or something like that. I don't know.
It's an intervention.
It's
really
an intervention. I love it. That's real talk.
Okay, so also in hotel news, we have...
Yeah, the Anchorage Hotel in Torquay has an important announcement, and they are closed for the cold water swimming.
Aww.
Gutting. I know. They're closing the pool until further notice, but they're going to plan something exciting. Always keep an eye out for the Anchorage Hotel because they're always so innovative and they've always got something cool going on.
Yeah. So let's go over to restaurant news now.
Right.
And we have a massive congratulations that goes out to Simon Holstone from The Elephant.
Mm.
It's their 19th consecutive year of being awarded a Michelin star.
I love that.
Yeah, and they have some really big plans for 2024, so keep your eye out and your taste buds ready.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I noticed that they were just swapping over their cutlery recently. So yeah, they must have big plans.
Yeah, that's amazing. No, it's very exciting.
So yeah, there's an update from Rugger Coffee. So we spoke about them taking over Frank's by the Pier, and now they have a name for the space and an opening date. So you need to get yourself ready. Go over to what's called the Rugger Shack.
Ooh, Rugger Shack.
Rugger Shack. This Friday, that's tomorrow, the 9th. To see all of the changes and to show your support. And so part of the story is, of course, that Frankie is going to be closing Frank's Lifestyle Cafe in Preston. But the cafe is all kitted out and it's listed with an estate agent. So if you want to run a beautiful cafe by the sea, but not the one on the pier, check out their Insta.
Oh, lovely. And also, by the way, Frankie, good luck for your next chapter, your next adventure. Whatever it's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be super exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I loved when Franks did those. They did I think they called them croffles, and it was a croissant cut open with savory, cheese and meat and stuff inside, and then they put them in a waffle iron.
I remember you talking about that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I remember you talking about
that. It's like one of the best breakfasts I've ever had in my life. It was a New York deli one. I'm a sucker for pastrami.
Listen, Frankie, if you have time, maybe pop by.
Yeah, stop by. Bring a croffle with you. Wonderful. So, you know what? Love is in the air.
Love is in the air.
Right. Valentine's Day is coming up. Do you have any plans with Tuba?
No set plans. It's TBD. and I think at the moment, we're still, for me, Curious Kitchen is still a winner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But let's see what else we have announced this week.
All right. Well, pop on over to the Headland Hotel and Spa for a Valentine's afternoon. Their pastry chef, Derek, has created a stunning Valentine's afternoon tea for you. And that's available February 12th to the 18th from 1:30 to 4:30.
Really cool.
I see that Cherry Tree Hotel made the feed. Ooh. Congratulations. Ooh. Trish and Alan. Woo! They are putting on an amazing Valentine's three-night package, and you can savor a selection of yummy chocolate while you share a bottle of bubbles. The offer is valid throughout February, but only if you book direct. Yeah. So I heard Trish loves a party.
She does. You know what? She loves a celebration.
Nice.
I was telling you just a second ago how we had guests a couple of years ago who they got proposed at the Cherry Tree Hotel.
Oh, that's a great story.
And then now they bring their kids.
What? Yes. Oh my God,
And they've got some grandkids, I believe.
What?
Oh, I don't know if this is a different story. I feel like I'm mixing up these stories. There's another one where they had some sort of celebration. And
yeah.
Then they brought the kids and now they bring the grandkids because I'm similar age to the kids.
Right.
And I remember when I was serving them breakfast when I was a kid, and now they're coming over, and I met their children.
Oh, so that's incredible.
That was crazy. What
a great story.
Really, really bizarre.
No, that's really nice. But it shows just how important, like, all that repeat business is for a business like it's a family-run business, yeah. You know, over at the Cherry Tree. And it shows just how, you know, you can delight your customers and keep them coming back for more.
Yeah, it's tough to get.
Yeah.
Literally generational. I'm sure those young grandchildren are going to come to the Cherry Tree Hotel one day and talk about how their grandparents used to come. You know?
That's my hope. Yeah, that's all our hope. Oh, that's wonderful. It's a great story.
Yeah. So also we could go to the Harbour Inn in Paignton and they have a deliciously dirty Valentine's set menu.
Why is it dirty?
There's a couple of items on the menu that are named dirty something, and
I love it.
It's not all they have on the menu.
No,
but it's if I take you through how my night would go,
okay,
then you'll understand why I think it's a dirty Valentine's
menu. I'm ready.
So I'd start with the Stilton creamy mushrooms with a bottle of fizz. Then I'd go for a dirty beef burger for mains.
You're always about the beef burger the burger sauce.
And the burger sauce. What I made burger sauce the other day.
Did you what? From scratch?
From scratch.
Did you add mustard?
I did.
See?
I added mustard.
Everybody thinks it's ketchup and mayo, but I think there's mustard in the burger sauce.
Well, I Googled it because Littles had run out of burger sauce. It said the main three ingredients is ketchup, mayo, mustard.
Okay.
And then you can add little things to spice it up, some chili sauce. Actually, the one menu had fish sauce that you put into it.
Oh.
I did not opt for that, but I'm curious, but not enough to actually do it.
Not enough to buy the fish sauce.
Carrying on with the Harbour Inn. After my...
Oh, sorry. miles away.
My dirty beef burger for mains. Yeah. The fizz probably is dried out by that point.
Yeah.
So I'd opt for a large Bailey's to pair with my dirty cheesecake for dessert.
Ooh.
And then I'd stumble out of Harbour Inn and straight home with a very, very satisfied belly.
Oh, it sounds like a good night. Yeah, it sounds dirty. I love it.
It does sound dirty. Also, there's a Valentine's party at the Grand Hotel. Mm. It's £30, which includes a buffet, and you'll be supporting the Rowcroft Hospice, Torquay. For further information, contact David Rowe at 07787 527 149.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's for a good cause.
Yeah, absolutely. And a buffet.
And a buffet. So, I'm all about the buffet.
That is a good cause.
For sure. All right, let's head over to bar news. Number 7 Wine Bar will be wine tasting in London to find some exciting new wines to bring back. And they're going to go to Berkman Wine Cellars. And we are excited to taste their findings when they reopen in the spring. I think they're reopening on the 22nd of Feb. I just bumped into the sommelier outside the Hilton today. And he was saying his colleagues are all in Spain, but he's got kind of drizzly, rainy Torquay. But he's still smiling and still in good spirits. So
that's nice. That's good. I don't think you can't really be in bad spirits when you're a sommelier.
No. You can't.
You know?
Well, and with the day off from work now, yeah, exactly. For another couple of weeks, so that's nice. And there's a nice and simple offer by the Railway Inn. Two main courses and a bottle of wine, £13. I cannot believe that price. Is that a typo?
That's not a typo. That's two meals and a bottle of wine
for £13.
Basically the cost of a bottle of wine.
Unbelievable. It's available Monday through Thursday. And make sure you check out their beer garden if the weather is half decent.
Absolutely.
Do we have anything on Boathouse Watch? Right. If anybody knows anything about the Boathouse, call us. We want to break the story right here.
If you've bought it, let us know. If you've not bought it, don't
get
bother.
In touch.
Yeah, no. That's all right. We don't need to know that.
We're going to turn over now to attractions news.
Yeah. So if you visit Kent's Cavern this February, half term, you can learn all about the origins of cave art.
Oh.
At the end of the cave tour, create a piece of Stone Age art in the cave.
Never.
Right?
Wow, that's really fun.
So cool.
Oh, that is good. And you know what else I think is running until the half term is the Egyptian hieroglyphics event. Yeah. I don't know whether that's on our list today. But yeah, that's coming to an end. I want to say it closes on the 18th. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong.
I know it's on at the moment.
Yeah.
And I know it's in for February.
Wow. Two really, really interesting activities. You know, if you take the kids to go see the hieroglyphics and then they can do like cave painting in a real cave.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
my God.
So cool. This stuff, cool. I've told you this before. I've never been to Kent's Cavern before.
You need to go.
I'm going for this. 100%. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. What an experience. Right. That's the kind of thing that really makes memories.
Yeah. Okay, so now on to events news. And there's not too much this weekend.
No.
But on Friday we have...
Torquay Comedy Club has a club night show, and that's over at the Imperial. And on Saturday, Don't Mix the Little Mix show, Woman Like Me, it's at the Palace Theatre in Paignton. This best-selling pop concert is the Little Mix show, and it's returning for its UK tour. And it's a back-to-back chart-topping hits, incredible voices, and electrifying energy. I love it.
Awesome. So we have something for the diary.
Oh.
The Agatha Christie Festival has been announced for the 7th to the 15th of September.
Mm.
And one of the events is a garden party to die for.
Oh, cool.
It's not coming from me. That's the title of the event.
Okay, nice.
And it's Sunday the 8th of September at Tor Abbey in a spiffing summer garden party in the heavenly walled gardens at Tor Abbey. Meet the head gardener, learn all about Agatha Christie's potent and poisonous plants and her time as a pharmacist in Torquay.
Never.
And join us for an afternoon tea.
Mm.
We recommend booking your tickets really early because this one's going to be absolutely packed. So to do that, head over to tor-abbey.org.uk.
All right, fab. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it sounds really, really fun.
Cool. All right, over to the jobs board. The Great Southwest Partnership is looking for two new deputy directors. The closing date for the applications is on the 11th, so act fast if you think that this is something for you. So that's a deputy directorship at kind of the devolved government, that where it's coming out of Whitehall and Westminster and it's going to Plymouth. So it's a massive job.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Yeah, if you're one of those types of people, get involved.
Yeah, we also have a couple more. So we have a restaurant manager at the Belgrave Sands Hotel and Spa.
That's Torquay.
Deli supervisor at Kentra. That's on Woodburn Road.
Oh, okay. I don't know where Woodburn Road is.
No, I'm not sure either. Honestly, I'd never heard of Kentra.
Carrickfergus
before.
Yeah, I don't know either. Okay.
But they do exist and it looks great.
Deli supervisor.
Absolutely. Deputy manager - senior supervisor at Offshore Bar and Restaurant. And actually, the Offshore are looking for a bunch of staff, bar staff, waiting staff. So I would check them out. We also want some bar staff at the Green Ginger in Torquay.
Mm.
And a junior people partner at Kent's Cavern.
Well, there you go. Junior people partner. That's perfect. Live music calendar on Friday. Lion is a four-piece cover band, and they're going to be at the Spinning Wheel in Paignton. Go on, Spinning Wheel, 9 p.m. to 11:30. And Do Barf is the acoustic duo, and they're going to play at the Burton in Brixham from 9 to 11:30.
Cool. So on Saturday, we have Booster, which is pop covers four-piece at the Devon Arms in Torquay from 9 until 11:30. We have Stiliano, which is a rock three-piece, also at the Spinning Wheel Inn in Paignton. Go on. Yes.
Yes.
Are we going to see you there?
Tell me more. I will be there every night this weekend.
And that's from 9:30 until midnight. Then we have Hot Tin Ruth, which is 90s covers at Kirkham Street Sports and Social Club in Paignton. And that's from 9:30 until 11:30 p.m. And we have Friends of the Pod,
hey.
Waves Collective.
Hey, guys.
Are at the Divers Arms in Torquay at 8 p.m.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hi to Ben and hi to Tweety. Let's see. Sunday, Simon Gee,
I think.
Covers band or covers act is going to be at the Babbicombe Hotel, 8:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m.
Yeah. Now,
let's look at the weather.
I think it's going to be a beautiful winter weekend of rain and clouds.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely not sunny. So the weather outlook for the weekend, Friday?
Friday, we got 12 degrees and rain. And actually on Friday, we have a yellow weather warning for that rain. For rain.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's not good.
So watch out and be careful.
Yeah.
Close the windows. Mm. Don't forget the windows. On Saturday, we have 10 degrees and cloudy. And on Sunday, we have 11 degrees and partly cloudy.
Okay. All right. It sounds miserable. Never mind. Summer's coming. Let's stay positive.
Absolutely.
Right. Amazing. So yeah, Callan's going to be getting in touch with a bunch of people to get your podcast booked in for the summer season. And if you're interested in coming on the Torbay Hospitality Podcast, make sure that you get in touch. Just drop us a DM on Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just want to say to you guys, thank you so much to everyone who's come on.
Yeah.
Because we've had such a blast.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's been... every single guest, it's so much fun.
I know.
Really, really enjoy it. Really love learning about everyone's story and their perspective on Torbay. So if you're thinking, you know, I want to come on, but I'm not sure if I'm the right person or I'm maybe a little bit shy, just get in contact and we can have a chat and see if this is right for you.
Yeah, if you want to. I mean, you can just like sit in while Callum and I do the news and you can just observe, you know, if that's what it takes to make you feel comfortable. You know, we've got lots of great coffee and drinks and stuff down here. So come on down and be a part of it. That's what I say. Yeah, because that's what Jackie did today. We went down and we picked up Jackie. We brought her upstairs. And yeah, she has an incredible story and a really interesting story about hospitality and a really beautiful journey all the way to the English Riviera.
So let's listen to that now. Jackie, you're just telling me about your life story.
Yeah.
Born in Brazil, grew up in New York, and now in beautiful English Riviera, Torbay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so give me some timelines.
Sure.
How old were you when you moved from Brazil to New York?
So I was 3. There was very little opportunity for my parents. My dad was a butcher, and my mom had just had me.
Yeah.
So I was about 5 months old, and they were basically like, no, we need a change. And my dad just went to New York. It's like $200 in his pocket and just, you know, just went for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's your dad's name?
Edson.
Edson. Yeah. Well, we usually have shout outs on the Torbay Hospitality Podcast. So I'd love to shout out Edson right now.
Yeah.
And let's just give him a little.
The OG.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
Ooh, go Edson.
Yeah. The OG. So then my mom and brother went over and then... I went over like 2 years later, so I was around 3 when I got there.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, just a suburb right outside the city. We lived in White Plains.
Yeah.
I love White Plains, yeah. So, yeah, 3, went to school, couldn't speak a word of English.
Wow.
So one of my first memories was asking to go to the bathroom in Portuguese and my teacher just being like, until I started doing like the potty dance and she was like, oh, yes.
What's the potty dance?
The potty dance. Just, you know, like.
Okay, sure. Like the potty wiggle.
Yeah, that was one of my first memories because it was actually traumatizing. So I was like, why aren't they understanding me?
Wow,
I was 4.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't know, you know? So yeah, grew up in New York, loved it. I spent 2 years in South Carolina. That was a bit not great.
Okay, yeah.
You know, very, I don't want to get political, but it was
around... I think you've said what you need to say then.
Yeah, it's in the South. I wasn't used to the South, but yeah. New York was getting really expensive and I was trying to get over here.
Sure,
okay. I needed to save money. My best friend was going through a rough time as well, and so... Her parents lived down in South Carolina. She was like, let's just leave. Let's just go have a break and, you know, see what South Carolina's like. And honestly, if it wasn't for her, I would have never gone because that's just not, wouldn't
so,
want to
so
go.
In South Carolina, were you in hospitality at that point?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. What establishment were you working at?
So I was at Wicked Tuna in
Wicked
South Carolina.
Tuna.
Yeah.
It sounds very wicked.
Lots of good experience. Lots of good people there too.
Yeah.
And one of my managers actually wrote a letter of recommendation to get into uni here.
Wow. Okay.
And so I've shout out to Steph.
Shout out to Steph.
It was great.
And then now we're skipping until What year did you move to the UK?
2020.
So the middle of COVID.
Middle of
COVID. You moved to the UK. Did you start working at the offshore immediately, or how did that all come about?
So I came 2020 and I started my uni course for social work. And for the first like 3 months, I was just trying to focus on uni because it was all online. It was all a bit weird. And so in the spring-ish time of 2021, I went to the Inn on the Green and did, I think, almost like the full summer there. But when I first started, it was all table service because it was, still kind of COVID. And I loved it. Table service there was great. Very busy, right in front of the pier kind of thing. It was great. But then,
I like Inn on the Green. It's a nice bar.
Yeah, really nice coworkers as well. But then they switched to bar service.
Sure.
And that was like something, I felt like a fish out of water.
Okay.
Because my entire career
has been table service.
Yeah. And I saw like little old ladies carrying trays and like wobbling. And I'm like, I want to help. And they'd be like, no, I got it. And I'm like, do you know?
Yeah, shame.
And I didn't like it. I tried to stick it out for about a month after that.
Yeah.
And I went from like, doing what I love, which is table service and getting to know people and making sure their meals are okay and all this stuff. But you can't really have that when it's bar service.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they've ordered at the bar. You don't know.
Yeah. No, I get you. So for you, like the hook of hospitality is actually the hospitality part of really making sure that the person's like experience is as good as it can be. And it's a little bit difficult when that's out of your hands, you're not going to them, checking on them, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I just was, clearing tables for 8 hours straight.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with clearing tables, but if you're signed up for being a waitress and then that's what you're doing for 8 hours.
Yeah, it's tough.
And, tips went down severely because people are doing most of the work.
Yeah, so it's not table service. Yeah. So then you moved over to offshore?
Yeah. So I took a break for a little bit because I was entering my second year of uni and that was a bit more rigorous.
Yeah.
So I took a break for about 6 months.
Yeah.
Just focused on uni. And I worked and I started at offshore, funny enough, 2 years ago.
Yes. Well, actually, we haven't given our listeners any context that this is a hospitality hero episode. And you've been nominated because it's the 2 year birthday. Is it today or this week?
It's this week. I remember it because I went for a trial 2 days before Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I looked at the menu. I'm such a foodie. I love food.
Yeah.
And I looked at the menu and I was like, this place is good. This place has really good food. And not the Inn on the Green didn't, but it's a chain and it's like a Marston zoned, I think. Sure. And so
it's like more exciting at the offshore. There's the menu is definitely, I believe it's elevated a lot in the last couple of years since COVID. Yeah. I think that you guys have done fantastically.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out to Chef Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah, and shout out to Jordan.
It's great that you work with someone who loves what he does.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I feel like, can look down on the service industry as if it's like a stepping stone.
Yeah.
Which it can be.
Yeah.
But if this is something that you love, which I do, 10 years of this, I'm 29.
Yes.
Almost 11, I think, from cafes, barista to, I worked at Starbucks, Dunkin' and mom and pop shops and all that stuff. And you get this experience and you can tell which people actually love what they're doing.
Yeah.
And which people are there just because it's a job.
Yeah.
And, my aspiration is to own my own restaurant one day.
That's
and,
sick. That's cool.
I love, my partner and I have plans and we have some menu ideas and
what kind of food is it in this restaurant?
So she's vegetarian. I grew up, my dad was a butcher in Brazil, so I grew up very much not a vegetarian. As an experiment, I gave up meat for 4.5 years.
That's a long experiment.
It was good. I felt good. And stuff, but
were you being quite careful to make sure that you're getting all the right amino acids and that kind of stuff?
And I felt healthier.
Yeah.
Recently I've gone back to eating meat, but it's like an occasional thing, and
You know what? I really like that. I think that when you have vegetarian or veganism as a point of identity, like saying I am a vegan,
mm-hmm.
And it's very, in that case,
kind of like,
it's one or zero. It's either I am a vegan or I'm not a vegan. I think a lot of people do struggle to keep to that one, to be a vegan, never have anything, or vegetarian, never have any meat product. I think when you give yourself a leniency of like, I'm not a vegetarian, but I don't eat that much meat.
Yeah.
Like for me, I go sea swimming in the mornings.
Mm.
And I found when I said that, when I told people that I go every morning, for a while it helps your motivation because you're attaching this thing to your identity. But after a while, it doesn't help, because when you miss a day for whatever the reason is, then now you've broken your identity, and it almost, the identity part almost becomes the reason why you were doing it, not the other reasons that you started doing it for. And then it's just like you break one day, and then it's like, well, I'm not someone who does that every day anymore. So, you know, I'm not going to go tomorrow. I'm not going to go the next. And you forget the reasons.
The leniency is key.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think so.
The first 6 months I was really adamant. I didn't want to eat any red meat, but I was still eating like chicken here and there, fish here and there, and then I went completely vegetarian, and that lasted about 4.5 years.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. And then recently my partner and I got like really interesting news. We were talking about it earlier, but the visa thing,
because
I'm not from here, so
I could have never thought that way.
It's hard to lose a New York accent. But honestly, like the news broke of that, and honestly, like the first thought I was like, God, I'm so stressed. I really want a burger. I want a drink. I want this, that. No, it was classic. I'm so stressed. This is so burger, unfair. F this.
Yeah.
Let me have a burger.
And yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And it was right around my birthday. So I used that as an excuse. It's my treat.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah. So, but like I was saying earlier, like it's so good to work, for someone who really likes what they're doing, and you can tell that. So Chef Jordan is one of those people, and he has a great staff in the kitchen as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that. I'm not in the kitchen, but you can tell that when you're eating there, because the food is fantastic. It's always presented as if
quality.
Yeah, as if it feels like I'm a food critic coming there, and everyone knows I'm a food critic coming here. It feels like I'm getting that real VIP service. And then I get disappointed because I see the person next to me also gets that VIP service. I'm like, oh. I'm not really that special.
We try really hard. And that's one of the things that drew me to offshore.
Yeah.
Because being from the service industry in America, it is a different level.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it has to be there. That is your livelihood. You depend so much on tips there.
Yeah.
I was getting, you know, in some restaurants that I worked at, like $2 an hour.
Yeah,
and
that blows my mind.
Yep. And it's not against any labor laws or anything. No, it's because you're a waitress and because it's like you do most of the work.
Yeah.
You know, most of the kitchen staff is either on salary or they get a very small percentage of your card tips.
Mm.
Anything in cash is yours.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were trained a lot to, you know, you get to keep your tips, so work for it.
Yeah.
You know, run your drinks, run as much food as you can, you know, check back on tables, make sure they have a good experience.
Yeah.
It's a tough industry because, you know, my best night I made $300 cash. Took that home with me. That was like half my rent.
Yeah.
In one day.
Yeah.
Great. And then the next day I walked out with 12. So it's, you know, it is a beast.
Yeah. It's very unpredictable.
Very unpredictable. But here I love the experience I had in the States, and then I brought it over here, and it is a different, it's a different industry, but if you have the right restaurants, they really care about service.
Yeah.
And that is what drew me to offshore, because we try really hard to make sure people have a good experience.
Yeah.
Because when new staff comes in and you can tell they're a bit like, you know, it's just a job until I gotta, you know, go to college or whatever. I'm like, I get that it's just a job, but you can have fun with this job.
Yes.
You know, people come to restaurants not just for a meal. You have to look at it, you know, are they celebrating a birthday? Are they having a first date? are they, you know, bringing their parents to a dinner to thank them for something, or, you know, an engage? Oh, I love engagements. So basic. Because I, you know, I proposed to my partner, and I told her,
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, this was like 5 years ago, but yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. When I proposed, I did it in a way that I thought that you would like. Yeah. And then I said, like, how would you have proposed to me? And she was like, I think we would have had a conversation somewhere along the line, and I would have done whatever you wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And I jokingly said, Megatron? And she goes, do you mean, what are you, I was like, what are you trying to say? I was like, you know, the Megatron. It was like, what, that big board on sports games?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I was like, she was like, I'm pretty sure that's a video game. I'm not sure what it's called. I'm still... Yeah. Losing it now. If you think about it, let me know.
Megatron, no, it's like at a NFL game or
jokingly said that. I would not have wanted that. She doesn't like public attention, so she'd have been, she paused and was like, I mean, I guess if you want. And I was like, no, I'm just kidding. And she was like, well, how would you have wanted it? And I was like, at a nice restaurant.
Yeah.
At a nice restaurant where it's not too packed. She was like,
but also not empty.
Not empty. I want people to clap for me. but she was like, would you want it have been in like the food? And I was like, no, that's too much.
Yeah.
You could choke on that. No. a nice plated dessert.
Yeah.
Will you marry me? And like, you know, get on a knee and then have, you know, that's, I love that. That's so romantic. Candlelight and all that. So that's, I try to motivate people of saying, you know, people come out, and especially nowadays, if they're coming out to spend money, and, you know, people's pockets are not as full as they used to be. And so make it worth their while.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, three people came in yesterday to celebrate a birthday. It was raining and not nice weather. There was one other table in there. And I was like, you know what? Let's make the effort. You know, I blew up some balloons and, you know, put a candle on the sticky toffee pudding, and I was the only one singing happy birthday, because so I was cute. Like, there's only a couple of other members of staff, and I was like, you know, like,
yeah, and that's a celebration.
It's a celebration. Yeah. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
And overhearing people be like, oh my God, that's so nice. Oh
yeah.
And I'm like, that just makes my day.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Also with the, like, working at a hospitality establishment, I agree with you that, having that like extra attention to the customers, it also makes your experience working at the place so much better.
Yes.
Because there's kind of like this energy where everyone's motivated to really deliver, do the work as well as they can. And when everyone in the room has that energy, mm-hmm. it's so fun. It's like, it's the weirdest friendship, hospitality friendships.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Like, you can become friends with someone so quickly in hospitality, because, I mean, most of the time people who are attracted to hospitality, the hospitality industry, it's a certain type of person who's going to thrive in that. And it's a bubbly person.
Extrovert.
I mean...
Some introverts make it.
Yeah.
They do well.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they have more of a, like, more of a calmness to them, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, me, I want everything to go well.
Yes.
And if it's not going well, I'm like, okay, what can we do?
Yeah.
But I almost get elevated in a way that's not always, you know, like, it's just that anxiety of, like, I just really want them to have a good time.
Yeah.
You need those introverts to be like, calm, cool, and everything's fine.
I'm actually thinking of, like, someone who's got, like, that middle, like, my sister, for example. She is, if you meet her at, she works at Coursera.
Is that
the new place in Paignton?
Used to be a harvester.
Yeah.
Looks nice.
And she's fantastic. She's worked at events across the country during summers, and, she's a very, very, very bubbly person.
Yeah.
If you met her at work, you would think she's the biggest extrovert in the world. But when she goes home, she just wants to cuddle with a little puppy bear.
It can drain you.
And but I mean, it's interesting. Like when she's not working, it's almost like it's not like she's drained. It's just she's almost got like two personalities.
Yeah.
And for her, I mean, the reason she got the job, she went for this job, wasn't financially motivated to some degree, but the main point wasn't financially motivated. It was actually to go make some new friends, to go meet some new people in an environment where she is her bubbly self.
Right.
And she's done that. She's made a bunch of really, really cool friends. I really like them.
Yeah.
and I think even for someone who's a little bit introverted, and I would say don't let that put you off applying for a position in hospitality, because the support network, the other people in the restaurant or in the establishment that you're in, they're there, like, they'll be there to support you through those little shy moments, and they'll get you out your comfort zone. It'll be so good for you, you know. I truly believe that.
It's a very good confidence building. It's
so much
nerve wracking to walk up to a table and get the right words out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I even stopped, again, 11 years in the industry, and I'm sometimes.
I'm sorry,
off.
I thought it was 10.
I recently turned 29, and so it was 10, and then I have to constantly remind myself that I'm a year older. So it is 11. But, 10 just sounds like a nice round number.
It is a nice round number, for sure. Yeah.
But like sometimes I'll mess up and I'll say, you know, I'll mispronounce a word or something, and I'm just like, whew, I need more coffee, or you know, make a joke of it or
have,
something
have
like
fun
that.
With have it, fun basically. With it, basically. Yeah. Because if you're having fun with it, the customer kind of has fun with it too.
Exactly.
Like, whereas if you're a little bit like, you make a mistake and you're like,
One time I brought an Americano to a table, and I said, an American. And I was like, no, I'm an American. I'm bringing you an Americano. Got me to be like, actually, that's kind of funny. So I now sometimes go to tables and being like, an Americano from an American? Anyone? Is that for you? You have, you know.
Or an Americano or an American, you know, take me.
No. No. I'm very happily with my partner of 7.5 years. So no, she's the only one.
What's her name?
Louise.
Shout out to Louise.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Louise.
Yeah. She was well worth the move. Cause I get it all the time. You're like, what are you doing in Torquay?
Yeah.
You're from New York.
You're in
Torquay. I'm like, you know, my partner's English. And so she was born and raised in Paignton. And then it's like 20 questions. How'd you meet? How long have you been here? And I'm just like, I have so much food to run. I cannot give. I almost want to make like laminated little cards saying, "Hello, I'm Jackie. I was born in Brazil."
The 20 questions.
The 20 questions that we get all the time. How did you meet? How long have you been together? Did you meet online? This, that, that, blah, blah.
Yeah, you should do that. You should literally have like a little little business card with just all those answers.
Yeah.
And as soon as someone gets to the point of
no further questions.
Where are you from? Listen. Let me just.
Here's my card. Let me know if you have any further questions.
There's no number on there. Do not call me.
Please don't call me. But it is a conversation starter because it's a hard accent to ignore. And it's almost always, I get asked 50 times a week when I'm at offshore. And I don't mind.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a mid-service, a mid-busy day.
Yeah.
Like if it's steady and I have time to talk to you, I will.
Yeah.
But I feel bad because sometimes I really can't answer your questions.
Yeah, there's someone there waiting for something. There's someone there waiting for someone.
But I like the intrigue. Some people really approach it great. And some people really just don't have any manners and will say the weirdest things to me. And I'm just like, I don't think I can have this conversation with you. Because they'll randomly be like, Biden or Trump. And I'm like, I'm just like, why don't you just put your thinking caps on? Let's say I'm a gay woman of color, you know, immigrant.
Yeah.
Won't you?
Obviously, you're gonna go for Trump.
Yeah. Like,
I'm gonna throw up
in that bucket. And they're like, but Biden's old, and I'm like, Trump is old. Like,
yeah.
And
okay.
So,
no, we're not going down that rabbit hole.
Again,
we're not doing it.
But that's my point. It's like I'm trying to get you burgers and pizzas out, and you're just like, and that's honestly one of the things I love about the food industry is
you know what,
you meet all those kinds of people that have no sense of like what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
You know what, some of my
but it's great,
some of my like fondest memories at my parents' hotel aren't the good guests. The, you know, quote unquote good guests. It's the ones that are just so bizarre, like just what? Like just asking questions, and you're just like, in your mind you're answering because you're in hospitality, you need to
try to be very diplomatic about your answers.
Yes, yes, very diplomatic.
Piss anyone off.
Yeah, you're representing a brand.
Exactly.
You know, when you're wearing the uniform, you're in the building, right. You're representing that brand, and you can't really have such strong opinions on something.
Exactly.
But I mean, I've had people ask me very, because I'm from South Africa,
yeah.
So I've had people ask me some pretty intense questions about South African politics.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, I just have to kind of like smile, I'm not sure, you know, I don't know about that, and then walk away.
I always say, that's such a good question. If I had time, I'd just sit with you and we'd have a beer and we can talk about it. But unfortunately, I can't do that because I have, you know, other tables to get to, but like, I want to make sure everything's okay over here. And I exited so many uncomfortable conversations that way.
Yeah.
So I almost use it. Thankfully, I can use my job as an excuse to not answer them. But yeah, I love it. It's one of those things. And you're right. It does call for specific individuals who can handle getting out of those tricky situations. And like,
yeah. But know. Again, I would say if you're thinking about applying for a hospitality job, don't let that put you off.
No.
It's a skill that you'll learn.
Absolutely.
It's a skill that you'll learn, and it's a really, really useful skill no matter what you're doing in life.
Yeah.
So like if this is a stepping stone, if you're going to go off to uni or whatever the thing is, this is a really useful skill to have.
It really is. Multitasking. Like mm-hmm. remembering, you know, that person needs ketchup, that table needs napkins, that table needs both.
Yes.
Make sure you got drinks ordered on that.
Yeah.
It's amazing because it really trains your brain to be, you know, vigilant about certain things.
And kind of compartmentalize, like when you're saying about ketchup and that one needs coffee and that one needs that thing and that person's just come in, but they don't look
ready.
They don't look ready or they don't look happy. So
it's almost like you're prioritizing in your head which one you have to go to first, which one is.
But to keep them all in there, I think is really, really useful. Like to learn that skill, to develop that skill of being able to compartmentalize everything and then just kind of like go through your mind and check off the little checklist in there.
And no one's going to get it like their first shift. They're not going to walk into a shift and be like, boom, boom, boom. Oh, this is amazing. This is so easy.
Yeah.
It's not like, I always say my first shift as a waitress, and I say I wear it like a badge of honor because from where I was to now, I've really grown and I love it even more.
Yeah.
I was so nervous. And of course I was running drinks and it was, not kidding you, 8 really big glasses like this tall, about 13 inches.
Okay, cool.
And they were like all specialty cocktails.
I don't know where this is going.
It's bad. A hen do.
Yeah.
I tripped and spilled all the drinks on the bride.
On the bride.
All of them. All 8 frozen drinks as well. And I was like, and I was mortified.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even because I don't know how to hold trays.
Yeah.
And I slipped on a piece of a lemon. I slipped and they went all over the bride to be.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, there goes my job. I'm fired. And I thank that table. I don't know where they are right now in the world, but thank them because they all hysterically laughed. They were grabbing their stomachs in laughing because
you added to that night.
It was,
you made it memorable.
It was the funniest thing they've ever seen. And they felt bad for me.
Yeah.
And then thank God they all were like, we're in service. We know that this happens.
Yeah.
We know that this, you know, but it was still mortifying and I felt really bad. And obviously I offered to buy them around out of my own pocket because I felt so bad. They're like, don't be silly. Just, you know, if you can make the other round quick.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe watch the floor. Maybe take a little quick glance. So they tipped 30%.
Wow.
I was like, I don't deserve this.
No, listen, again, it's my dad taught me a really, really big lesson, which is it's not what happens, it's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
It's no matter what the problem is, if you can show the customer that like it's not like that's their problem. If you're like, that's our problem, how are we gonna solve that? What can I do to make this better? That's everything. It doesn't matter, it almost doesn't matter what the problem is at all. I was running an Airbnb in Istanbul. And we had a toilet that didn't work for like a week. And which is like not okay. That's really like people had to use the like the apartment next to us. They had to go into someone else's apartment to go use the toilet for a week. And all of the guests that were staying during that period gave us 5-star reviews and all because it was a huge issue, and like they could see how stressed out we were about that issue. They could see that like this wasn't a common occurrence. This wasn't something that, oh, you know, the toilet's messed up, let's just it's fine,
it's whatever.
No, it was a huge huge issue. But because they could see that, they could feel that it was,
you care,
it was us versus the problem, right, rather than us versus them.
Exactly.
Like we were all in the thing together, and it was like almost a little bit funny at times having to go into the other apartment. I mean,
I wonder if they had a system internally between them being like one or two.
Oh, we were in the house together. We were in that house as well, hosting them. So it was a big problem for us as well. Don't get me wrong. Like it was also not a great week for us. But yeah, I think just how you deal with in hospitality, how you deal with the problem, how you make the customer feel like they're really listened to and you really care about that issue that they're having. And no matter, I mean, this is obviously a really obvious example, a big problem, like going to someone else's apartment that you didn't book to use the toilet. That's a huge problem. But even a little thing, like if someone's pillow wasn't the right texture for them, they didn't like the pillow, you could look at that and you could say to them, oh, you know, well, that's the pillows that we have, so deal with it.
Yeah,
but what we would do is we would say, okay, give us a set. I mean, we can't buy a pillow for everyone who wants a different kind of pillow, but we would go through and we'd speak to the other guests and say, hey, do you mind if we like see if they like, if they prefer your pillow, or like, can we try and figure something out, and give them like some options?
Exactly.
And like, it's a really small thing, but they go home thinking, even if they didn't get the perfect pillow for themselves,
there was an effort
and they felt like really, really listened to. Like, it's not a small thing, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
Because for them, it was a big thing. And it is a big thing. Like, having a good sleep on your holiday, that's a huge
100%,
thing. That's like, if you've got a sore neck for a week holiday, that week holiday, all you remember was your sore neck. You know?
I love when people come to offshore, like, oh, we've just arrived. And I'm always like, oh, where from? And they're like, well, where are you from? And so, like, we chat about different experiences and everything like that. And I always love when they come in and we're here for a week. And I've seen them every day that week.
Yeah,
and you get to know them, and it's amazing. And I love that because, you know, sometimes it's older couples, and they'll be like, you know, we used to come here when it was, you know, not this. And I was like, oh yeah, so how do you like the change and this?
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a time capsule, Torbay, is, you know?
Yeah.
So I always like to hear from people who've been here before and they come back, or it's their first time coming. I also love that we get an influx of international students.
Yeah.
And, you know, last summer, a few of the German students were like, can we take a picture with you? And I was like, sure.
For sure. Yeah.
I was like, why not? For no, they didn't give me any context.
No, I respect that.
I was like, sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You've come here, you're trying to learn English. You bring money, you need to have coffee, you need, you know, I can't imagine going through uni without caffeine.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
you want a picture? Let's take some pictures.
Sure. And, and I love, some of them are older students.
Yeah.
So like they come in their 40s and 50s to learn English.
Yeah.
I had a woman from Spain last year, and she asked one of my coworkers if they, you know, speak Spanish or anyone. If anyone speaks Spanish, and I remember them being like, okay, can you come over here, please? And she was so...
Wait, do you speak Spanish as well as Portuguese?
Yes.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Is it just three languages then?
technically French as well. I can get by. I can get by on French. I don't think the French would like my French speaking, but
you know they would prefer to your English speaking.
Exactly,
for sure.
Exactly. But yeah, I studied French for 10 years in school.
Okay,
and
wow.
And I loved it because like my dream growing up was always to go to Paris. I don't think I want to go to Paris right now
because
a bunch of things happening in Paris right now, but hopefully one day.
Is that related to your foodie love of food? The Paris dream?
The Paris dream, I think it's my love of croissants.
Croissants, yeah.
I think it's my love. I'm such a simple person to please. And like my partner and I try to, on Saturday mornings, have baked croissants in the morning.
Adorable.
Just to like start
so
our weekend, you know. I know.
So cute.
So cute. But yeah, my love for croissants. Yeah, as a little kid, I don't know why. I think it's all just because it's so good.
Are there croissants at the offshore?
I don't think we have them, but...
What's your favorite thing to eat at the offshore? Like, do you guys have... Mussels?
The mussels.
Okay, well, that's a strong...
Fun story.
Strong answer.
Was a vegetarian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that ended about 2 months into offshore.
Okay.
Because I was...
the mussels.
Yes. No, I'm not even... That's, as the kids say these days, no cap.
You're really showing your age of 29.
Yes, 29. You know? But I was running food, and we have really big mussel plates, and they're, you know, you need mussels to carry the mussels for sure.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I always say. And I was carrying them. I was like, oh my god, this smells so good.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? This smells amazing. And I think it was Connor, one of the cooks in the kitchen. Love Connor, love him. And he was like, oh, I had like this little pot of mussels because I was, you know, trying them to see if they're good and ready. And I was like, yeah, okay, fine, I'll try it. 4.5 years of being vegetarian down. And I took one bite of those mussels. And I was like, okay.
Damn it, Connor.
God damn it. and then I went in like a week later on a date night with Louise. And I had the mussels. And I was like, yep. And it's I like trying food because then you can like let people know what they're eating.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, because... I'm torn between the scallops and the mussels. Get the mussels.
Yeah.
And I love the scallops too, but it's just the mussels. Oh, and I love that we also do set menus different times of the year. So we
I've seen that. I'm actually very curious about like the Valentine's menu. Looks sick.
Yeah.
Even the Valentine's the afternoon tea thing.
Yes.
That looks
like a
great offer, to be honest.
We put so much effort into our afternoon teas. We love it. We have the three-tier ones. We try to make it as nice as possible. Again, because, it's a celebration. Someone's celebrating something.
Yeah.
And so we want to make that nice for them. And, you know, so we have the set menu, and we have it for Christmas. We have it for after season. They're, you know...
Yeah, I saw you guys even have like a February set menu.
Yes, because we did 3 weeks of renovation in January.
Yeah,
And then we're open up full time now.
Yeah,
and so we get there and it's a brand new menu, and it's a testament to how much Jordan really likes his job because he changes it up and he wants to.
Yes.
And he's, you know, whenever I have a question of like, what's this word? What does that mean? Like, I'll Google it just to get myself familiar with it. But I want to know what his interpretation of that dish is as well.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from him.
Yeah.
And so.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I got to say, that's something you don't see at every restaurant.
Exactly.
Is the communication between the waiter, waitress, and the kitchen staff.
That is one of my biggest passions, is to make sure that we have a good like communication between kitchen and front of house, but also a good working relationship of, you know, just the mutual respect is there. And I love that because no job is easy in a restaurant.
Yeah.
No job is easy. And it's all like parts of a system. You know, the food runners are the bridge between back of house, front of house. They're almost like that both, you know, and the core staff that we have right now, February, it's bare bones in Torbay, you know, the core staff we have right now is one of, if not the best team I've been a part of in the food industry. And I like to go to work every day because like you said, I made friends, you know, and I like seeing my people.
Okay, Jackie, we have a segment for season 4 of the Tall Boy Hospitality Podcast, which is a this, that segment.
Ooh, okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and you're just going to fire off top of the head, whatever comes.
Okay.
New York style pizza or Milano style pizza?
New York.
New All York.
Day. Against anything.
Football weekend or a fancy date night?
I'll combine them. I'll make it. Football weekend, thank God. Louise loves football as well, so
okay, yeah. you'll take some some candles to, yeah, to the
ball. We once stayed up until 3 a.m. watching an NWSL game, which is the league in the States.
Yeah.
As my favorite player of all time was retiring. It's her last game, and they won the championship.
Wait, are we talking soccer or football?
Like proper football. Like British
football.
The rest of the world's football, yes.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I'll always say American football if I'm talking about American football. Because, again, you have to remember, I'm Brazilian first. Yeah. I'm Brazilian first and then American. So the amount of times I tell people that I love football and they ask me that question, they're like, but what do you really know about it? I'm like, I'm Brazilian. And they're like, oh, never mind. Never mind. They get like war flashbacks of the 2002 World Cup when Brazil kicked out England, I think. And I'm like, oh.
And if they don't get the flashbacks, you remind them.
Oh, I remind them.
Yeah,
but
for
then
sure.
They always come back and go, that's 7-1 Germany. I was like, all right, you didn't, that just got violent.
All right, next question.
Yep.
Brighton, Bristol, or Bournemouth?
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. Bournemouth.
Surprisingly, they have a huge Brazilian population.
Okay.
Yeah, we went on a mini vacation and it was a lot of Portuguese being spoken on the street. And I was like, oh my God, they're speaking Portuguese. Oh my God. And I looked up, literally, the question I asked Google, why are there so many Brazilians in Bournemouth? And they're like, Bournemouth is the second highest population of Brazilians in the UK.
So that's cool.
Second to London. And I'm like, and it's because of the beach, apparently.
Okay.
The Bournemouth beach, and we walked along it.
Yeah.
I can tell why. Like, as a Brazilian, I understand why they gravitate towards.
When you say the beach, you mean like the vibe of the beach?
No, like the actual beach. Like, it's actual, it feels like actual sand, as opposed to like here. It's like pebbles and
lots of like the
clay, but it's like an actual beach and I love it. It's it's a city, but it's also by the sea and, you know, almost like an hour and a half away from London. So if I had to move anywhere in the UK without it being Torbay,
yes,
then it Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Bournemouth's the best
beach. Brazilian cafes alone, I'd move there.
All right, next one. Scones dash scones.
Yeah, scones.
Are we putting the cream at the bottom?
Yes.
Or cream on the top?
Cream on the bottom, jam on top.
On the bottom.
For me, it looks more aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's a controversy because there's a way to do it depending on where you live, but I don't know which way that is.
I think for me, it's cream on the bottom for a practical reason.
Yeah.
And that's because I like absolute F-ton of cream.
Thick. Yeah.
A lot of cream.
Yeah.
And it just, if I put the jam first, there's nowhere for this cream. It's just going to fall off. So right. It's practical.
I feel like structurally sound as well. That thick cream. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never had clotted cream in my entire life.
But I feel like as two non-English born people, we're going to get some hate on that possibly.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know.
All right. Last one. Bays. Devon dumpling or Devon rock?
Ooh, Devon rock.
Devon rock?
Yeah. I always tell customers, I refer to it as like a crisp, like craft beer. Like it's nice and like it's what you want at the end of a hot day.
Yes.
It goes, it's smooth. It's, you know, like full bodied. Yeah. I don't know if I'm saying these words
it
correctly. You know, it makes sense.
I'm feeling it. I'm tasting it.
And support, like we love to support local. That's one of our biggest things that we like to do is you know, put local things on our menu because small businesses matter.
Yeah.
And
also the team at Bays are doing great things. Absolute props to them.
Yeah.
They make great beer.
And they're great to work with as well. Yeah. They're very, you know, very nice people and accommodating and all that stuff. So.
And Devon Rock is, ooh.
Yeah. Any place that serves Devon Rock, I go to. Like, they have Devon Rock? Like,
all right, fine. I'm in. No Devon Rock? Well,
How's your food? It's the best of both worlds at offshore.
Damn straight. Yeah. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, Jackie. Thank you very much for joining us.
And
big congratulations on the 2 years and being nominated as the hospitality hero.
Yay.
Yeah. No, seriously. Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate offshore even thinking of me. So yeah, I love it there. So I hope to see people that are listening coming by and
And go and say hi to Jackie. Ask her where she's from. Ask her how why is she in Torbay. Ask her. She wants to be asked.
Yeah.
She's got a card for you. So
it's fine. I get asked 50 times a week. I don't mind. But yeah, it's great. I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you everyone for listening.
Thanks everyone.
Amazing.
Thank you so much, Jackie, for coming on. That was so much fun.
Incredible. Yeah. She's such a great, she's got such a great personality.
So much energy.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Brilliant. So thank you so much for sitting with Jackie today and talking her through that. I'm sorry I couldn't make it, but I'm sure that Jackie and I are going to knock back a few at some point because we've got that East Coast vibe thing going. So yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you all very much for listening.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, but Trish loves a party.